This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the tense. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Down there in the bottom square, look a little tired, but he has a good reason for it. And he's here. We're fired up he's here. That's my name is Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Boys, my body is bruised and beaten, but my soul is full and alive. I did my first international festival this weekend, so I'm down bad, but we're coming back. What's up? What's cast?
I want to hear about these beaver tails. All right. Buzzing in from the desert. Get everything all set up. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
What's up, man? I'm extra glad to see Cobb because I'm a little stuffed up and I sound like shit. So if Cobb wasn't here and I had to talk more, there'd be a lot more of this.
Oh, Matt, do you have the dreaded summer cold?
Apparently. I didn't know it was a thing. It just, I was just all sniffly and stuffy today.
Yeah, summer colds suck worse to me because at least in like the wintertime or the fall, like, you're already indoors, but when it's summertime, it's like, I wish I could breathe. I want to be outside doing stuff.
Well, down here in the summer, it's nice to be indoors for AC purposes. So it's actually a pretty chill day, watching a lot of YouTube videos about the Kendrick and Drake beef still.
All right. I don't want to go too deep on this, but have you noticed all the rappers from L.A.? Like Schoolboy Q, it happened to him and somebody else. Like they keep canceling their shows in Canada.
Really?
Yeah. The Canadians are pissed and they're not saying sorry.
Sorry.
All right. First off, this week, big shout out to everybody that showed up in Bremerton at Pub 884. That was a great time. But we were lucky enough. Me and Thrill and his wife and I was going to say Sarah from the Daily Migs show, that we had transportation provided by Pacific Northwest Pours and Tours. And my guy, Ian, did I get it right?
You got a tour before you pour.
You got a tour before. All right. Tours and pours.
Whew, rookie mistake. It's okay. We'll move on.
But Ian runs that company. I was shocked to learn you had just kind of started. If people are interested, give them a little background on yourself and what you're doing there.
All right. So I did a brewery tour years ago in Seattle, probably 13 years ago now. And it was a blast.
All right.
I'm active duty military. The 2013, I got stationed in Hawaii. I lived there for 5 years. It was a great time. Traffic sucked, but so glad I got to live in Hawaii for 5 years. But I came back here in 2018. I'm like, where did all these breweries come from in Kitsap County? It just exploded. And I kept asking my wife when we were out at trivia. I was like, you want to drive me and the boys around? She's like, no, I don't want to drive you around. I'm not going to drive your friends around too. And I was like, well, come on. She's like, no. But we just kept talking and discussing with friends. Like, why is no one doing tours? And we started looking at it and realized there's 16 breweries in Kitsap. There's 10 wineries and 3 distilleries. There's a lot to do out here and no safe way to get around to it. So that's why we started Pacific Northwest Tours and Pours.
Wow. Which,
when you book with us, right, and you do a private party, we'll go to your doorstep to pick you and your group up. We'll go to three of our partners. Like,
I was going to say, even in like Woodinville, like I see buses out there all the time full of women doing the wine tours, but I feel like the brewery tour has been a little disrespectful.
Yeah, what about the boys?
Yeah, what about the boys? What about the, what
about the boys? Big City Slam boys, right? Well, and that's what's kind of unique about us too. Well, we've had a lot of success with couples, right? Because, you know, stereotypical women like their wine and stuff like that, and the men want breweries. We will do a brewery and winery in a tour. And so it'll be like 2 wineries and a brewery, and the guys are there dragged along. And they're like, okay, this one's not too bad. It's not too bad. And by the end, the women are, you know, don't care enough. They'll have beer with the guys. And it's usually a good old time. And we'll throw a distillery in there. But yeah, like I said, we pick up the group from the house. We go to 3 of the partners. We pay for the flights for everybody. We tip the bartenders. We even give a snack and a bottle of water on the tour, and then we take y'all home. So we always tell people, you drink, we drive.
Yeah, and I mean, look, number one, nobody wants to hurt anybody or hurt themselves, but also just the cost, the legal stuff, going through a DUI is terrible. So it's like, look, you know, hanging out with the boys and, you know, or, you know, bunch of couples, maybe there's an extra dude like a Ted Smith. Like, yeah, let's hit some wineries, let's hit some breweries. We don't have to sweat
there,
driving.
They're in the back of the bus just heavy breathing.
Right. What is the, if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to book you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So we are active on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we also have our website, pnwtoursandfours.com, and you can message us there. We have a contact form, and if you ever see the van, I mean, the number is right on the side of the van too. Take a picture, we got QR codes. We're trying to make it very easy for people to get out and enjoy some of the best that Pacific Northwest has.
Nice. And then Cobb likes this kind of stuff. So your van, because he was telling me about a Cobb, the van that it's not, is, I forget what kind of van it is, but it's, you put a different like roof on it. So it's that much taller, and you have like a, yeah. I mean, you have a TV in there. That's as, almost as big as the TV in my living room.
So it's a 15 passenger Ford Transit high roof. So it's actually 6'6" on the interior. And it's always funny because the tall dudes are walking all suspect and you're like, you can stand up. And then they stand up like their head's going to get shot off in like World War II because they expect to hit the roof and they don't.
Yeah. And how did you order the thing?
I actually had to fly down to LA to pick that van up because I wanted a vinyl floor in it. And they are hard to come by nowadays because everybody's turning them into campers, because that seemed to be the cool thing during COVID, was for people to live in a van down by the river.
Look, I'm with you. I don't get the like, I have a friend that does it, the van life stuff, and like, good for them. But I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't want to live in a van.
I think the van life thing is very social media friendly because, you know, as long as you post once a week that you're having a good time, you know, it'll negate all the other, not being able to do laundry and you hate your life because you're, you know, taking an S outside in a little can.
Yeah, maybe some people. Yeah, I mean, I do laundry every Tuesday night and whatever. Like, it's always a joke. Like, I got to go change my laundry over halfway through this podcast. Well, either way, do you, let me ask you this. If I wanted to do one in Woodinville, could I still hire you, or are you just Kitsap County?
So our partners are just in Kitsap right now. We have 21 of them. So 12 breweries, 5 wineries, 4 whiskey bar distilleries. And we actually should be adding a few more wineries here soon. But we also offer just a private charter service, right? So you just hire us and we show up and you just flat hourly fee and we're yours for the evening. So whatever you guys want to do, right? I just recently had a bachelorette party where they kept on like, we're getting too much. It's like, listen, Linda, like I've driven drunk sailors in foreign ports. I'll tell you when you're getting too much. And we're nowhere near there.
I respect that.
I even told him like verbatim. I was like, the minute you start trying to do like hookers and blow in the van, we're gonna have a talk. But until then, you're good to go.
So no whores and pores is what you're saying.
I didn't say no. I just said we're gonna have a talk about it. There was a $300 like DNA fee cleanup, so
yeah, that insurance is definitely steep.
Well, I'm gonna start using that. I'm gonna start using that line in my house. Like, yeah, dude, you can use the extra bedroom, but there's a $300 DNA fee.
Yeah. We're gonna have a talk.
You might want to price that per square foot of the bedroom too, though, right? If they get it on the mirror, it might be a little more than the carpet.
I know. And I do have carpet in the bedroom.
Price it by the cleaning chemical you have to use.
All right. Well, yeah. Ian, thanks for coming on. Pacific Northwest Tours and Pours.
Oh, my man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Let Ian do the driving for you. Plus, he's a nice guy, man. We had a blast on Saturday. Thanks again so much, man. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
All right. Appreciate you guys having me. And everybody, be safe. Make good choices.
Just to add one more thing on there for people who are interested. So it was PNWToursandPours.com. They have all 5-star reviews. Phone number is 360-468-5565. Hit our boy Ian up and take a tour. Go have some fun.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ian. Honestly, that was so much easier having him drive us around. Just a nice dude, man.
Oh, yeah. Cool. It seems cool. And that is nice when you just don't have to think about it. You can just truly rage, you know?
Yeah. You can just, right. I mean, it's just all the way done. Plus, you know me. You know, we did the, our event was 2 to 4. So, like, 3:55, I walk out the door. Somebody's like texting me like, where's Ted? It's like, he's already in the van.
Yeah.
Show's over. He's in the van.
Yeah. He's already headed to his next gig. It's like Diplo, you know, he's headed to the tarmac. Or an apartment in North Seattle, you know, either way.
All right. So Cobb, I told you before we started, I already told Matt, like I got some Olympic questions. Let's start with the swimming. I will remind people you actually swam in college at Boston College, so it's not like you're just a fan.
That's true. I swam to Division I in the ACC. I swam against some Olympians, but I'll say this: it was not close. we were in the same pool, but not really even in the same sport. So I do know a lot about high levels of swimming. I would not consider myself a high level swimmer, but maybe better than your average Joe. So hopefully I'll know the answers and yeah, who knows?
Is it safe? I would say it's pretty safe to say that everybody listening to this would call you a high level swimmer. When he says average Joes, that means I got to assume 99.9% of our listeners.
I would say probably I'm in the top 1% of swimmers. I am not in the top 0.1% of swimmers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe
of our listeners and hosts, definitely a 0.1%er. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, I can swim faster than you. That's about all I got. At least I could when I was 20. Who knows now? I'm 37, so probably not.
I don't know. Honestly, now that you say that, I'm not sure I know. Like, I know a bunch of people that swam in, like, you know, like the club or whatever, like Knights of Columbus when we were in grade school, but like, oh, this is going to sound bad. I'm sure I had a buddy at DeMatha that was on the swim team, but I'm not positive I know people that even swam in high school.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's sort of an obscure sport, which is why I'm not surprised you were watching in the Olympics. You are sort of the king of obscure sports. I watch a lot of the swimming. I like it. I think it's interesting. But yeah, Ted, I mean, I got to imagine, you know, for somebody of your obscure sports stature, it's got to leave some unanswered questions.
It does. I did a little research on my own. I found out it's a slow pool, Cobb.
Really?
Yes.
That surprises me. Usually they have very fast pools for the Olympics. Did they say why?
It's shallower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, right. So my understanding is that because it's a shallow pool, it especially doesn't let the Americans or I guess kind of the kings of like swimming as far as they can underneath.
Yep. The deep long dive or the long butterfly kick.
So what's like the fastest pool? I remember you telling me about like the army pool before where you could see the dudes underneath you because it was super deep. So like, is the deeper the pool is, makes it faster?
Not necessarily. There are a bunch of factors that go into how fast a pool is. The thing you're referencing is when we swam against West Point at Army. So we were having a swim meet on the top of the pool, but that pool in particular is like Man, I don't want to say anything too crazy. I want to say it's 20 meters deep. It is super deep. It's like a cube. And on the bottom, there were guys in all black in the middle of the swim meet, or as we're warming up, there's guys in all black with scuba gear on, running little like missions down there on the bottom of the pool. So what they were up to, I have no idea, but they looked cool as hell. And to get down to them, you know, would have been a real chore. So that's what you're talking about there. But yeah, as far as things that affect, what was your question? What affects the speed of a pool?
Yeah. Is it depth? Is it temperature?
So it's a variety of factors. I would say that number one is waves. So when you swim down, but then you touch a wall and you swim back. And when you swim back, you're coming through the wake that you left before. And that wake is bouncing off of the walls. It's bouncing off of lane lines. It's bouncing off of other swimmers. And so how much of that wake you have to compete with is going to affect the race, especially the longer the race is and the more times you're going through it. So when you hit a wall, you do a flip turn, you try to come out underneath your own wake. But if you're not in first place, you're in second, third, fourth, depending on if it's single lane lines or double lane lines, that will determine how much of that wave actually gets through to your side. And then if you're in one of the outside lanes, if there's a lane line next to the wall, or if the wave is just bouncing straight off a concrete wall, or if they have a spillover gutter, similar to like an infinity pool where it actually takes the brunt out of the wave. So that's one factor. Water temperature is a big factor. The actual composition of the water makes a big difference. Some pools are much more buoyant than others. And obviously, you know, a pool that's running like some salt or heavy chemicals, if you're more buoyant, you're going to be able to go faster. When it's cooler, you can go faster partially because of the less fatigue. So typically at that level, you're wearing a full body suit or at least pants for a sprinter. And those get hot. You know, they get hot, especially if you're going hard. So a cold pool makes a big difference. But if it's too cold, you know, you get muscle cramping and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, those are some factors. The depth of the pool makes a big difference in terms of same thing. The wave, the wake bouncing back off the bottom of the pool versus having room to dissipate. So you want at least like a 9-foot deep pool kind of at the minimum. But yeah, so there's a bunch of different factors. How high the starting blocks are makes a big difference. Yeah. And then after, I would say those are the basics. And then you start to get into, I don't want to say conspiracy theories, but you get into rituals and sort of like people's niche theories about what else affects stuff. And I would say there's about 15 factors like that that are neither confirmed nor denied, but may affect times.
All right. And then you warm up and then you get out of the pool. And then do you jump back in to like get used to the temperature before you actually dive in for the race?
So typically people will originally at the beginning of the day warm up in the main pool where they're going to be swimming the competition. They can try out the blocks, they can get a feel for the pool. But then when you warm up for your race, you're most likely warming up in a dive tank, or in some of the Olympic facilities they have another pool underneath the bleachers. And so people will warm up there, and that's a much warmer pool. So when you hit that water, it's brisk and it shocks you. I mean,
that was my question. Cold. Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name. He came in, he got a bronze in the backstroke. But like when he came out, like he's in like a puffer jacket, like he's like covered up. But backstroke, obviously, you have to jump in first. You don't jump off the blocks. But I was like, if he was swimming like freestyle, that seems like I would want to know the temperature of that water before I just dive in.
Yeah. It runs really cold. I mean, those guys are trying to stay as warm as they can and keep their muscles, you know, flexible. And then also a lot of guys, breaststrokers in particular, get down and try to splash some water on their chest and their face. Some people try to use it to seal their goggles a little better because, I mean, you know, you lose goggles or something at that level, I mean, you're essentially out of the race. And so people have a lot of different theories about the fast skins and the suit they're wearing, and whether it's better for it to be dry when you hit or wet. There's sort of a gel membrane on some of them. I mean, it gets pretty technical, I guess I would say. And so, yeah, typically when you're hitting that water, you're coming in warm and you're hitting really, really cold water. And it does give you a shot of adrenaline, aside from the fact that you're in the Olympics competing against the best in the world.
Yeah. All right. My last question is, because I was really fired up for this backstroke race. When you're upside down, How do you know where the wall is? Is that just a quick glance and you see that red on the thing? Like, how do
you're
they
saying
know
when you're on your back?
Yeah, when they're doing the backstroke, like, how do they know how? Because they all know exactly where that wall is for the turns, and they like they did like an extra kick to like yeah. touch it, and I'm like, how the hell does he know?
Well, there's a couple layers to it. I mean, one, at that level of the sport, you know, it's similar to Olympic hurdles. I mean, you know how many steps are between each hurdle. But, you know, for there, like they know almost exactly the number of strokes they're going to end up taking. But that's not really important. There is a strand of flags that goes over the pool before you hit each end. I would guess it's probably, I don't know, 8 meters off the wall or so. Somebody can correct me, but something like that. And so when you see those flags, at least for me, it's one more full stroke. You turn on your belly, one crawl stroke, which is the most you're allowed to do, hard kick, and then flip turn. You know, or if you're coming into a final wall, then you're not allowed to flip over. You just hit with a couple of dolphin kicks and try to glide it out and get that extra little bit rather than taking another stroke. So, yeah, and touches at the end are very important. I mean, these races are won and lost by hundredths of a second, as you've seen.
I am 43 years old. I never was on the swim team at the Knights of Columbus, but like my sister was. Can't remember if my brother did it, but like I had to sit there and watch swim meets. I have seen 100 pools. I always thought those flags above were just decoration. I had no idea that they all have them. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
And they're at every pool.
Every pool, right. If there's a swim event, they're always up. And I'm like, God damn. It's like bunting for the 4th of July.
Yeah, seriously. It's like a used car dealership in there. Those little pennants. Yeah, that's what they're for.
You could see the smile on my face. I had no fucking idea they were actually forced. I'm watching that race the other night, and I'm like, how in the hell does he know?
Dude, you know what's funny is I know you well enough that 2.5 weeks from now, you'll be in a bar somewhere in Seattle, lean over and be like, hey, buddy, you see those flags there? Like, right. Yeah. Like, guess what those are for?
Right. Oh, you're right. That knowledge will stay with me now.
Like, well, for sure. You're the king of obscure facts.
God damn, that is good. Also, I will say, Sunday was kind of a fun sports day. I didn't have anything going on a Sunday. Got up early, watched the F1 race. The most exciting race. Kind of interesting. George Russell only did one pit stop, so he wins the race, right? Because, wow. Like, right, everybody else did two. Lewis Hamilton came in second. But then about an hour after the race, they were like, your car's, it's too under, it's, it was like, a, I don't know, a kilogram and something off. So, but he got DQ'd. So he lost the race because the car was too light when it came in.
Because it just had burned through so much rubber and gasoline and fluids?
I mean, that's one theory that the wear on the tires really like lessened it. I don't know. Toto Wolff, the team principal, he was just like, this is our fault. That should never happen. Like George was right to stay out there. It was kind of weird. Is sometimes right? Like he hadn't pitted yet. So I'm watching that race and I'm like, well, eventually, you know, and Spa's a pretty fast track. Like eventually he's got a pit. So I'm really just watching to see what happens between Oscar and Lewis. But then there's only a few laps left and it's like, oh, shit. George Russell is not going to pit. And then he wins. And like Lewis seemed a little salty. And then, you know, he's like, well, we had to pit, whatever. It's team sport. And then an hour later, they're like, and George Russell is out.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. Imagine spraying all that champagne. He gets a trophy, he gets a medal. He had already put out an Instagram post.
No. Right. Oh, that's devastating. Right.
I was like, oh, that's brutal.
That's like, did you ever see that video where... I think it was on YouTube, but it was like a guy's friend said, like, he wants to know what it's like to win the lottery. And so they recorded on like TiVo the lottery reveal. And then they went out and bought tickets. And one of the tickets they bought with the matching numbers to the day before. And then they give that guy that ticket and then they play it. And the guy's like watching, like matching them up, and then starts going crazy when he's like 4 out of 5 numbers, 5 out of 5 numbers, goes berserk, thinks he won like $100 million, goes ham, and they let him they celebrate with him, go crazy for like 5 minutes, and then they let him know, like, hey, buddy, that was actually yesterday, and you didn't win. but you said you wanted to know what it felt like, and now you know. That's what it reminds me of.
Right?
It's really film the whole thing.
Doing you a favor.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I'd be happy or pissed at my friends at that point.
It's an incredible video. Highly recommend a watch. I'll see if I can find it and let people know what it's called, but so good.
So after the race, watched, I don't know, table tennis or something, and then rolled right into the USA versus Serbia basketball game. And look, I don't care if you watch the NBA or not. Watch the USA basketball team. It's just unbelievable. They're all so good, and like, they're passing the ball. I mean, Kevin Durant was on fire. I was just like, oh man, it's like the best All-Star game, except they actually care.
Yeah.
Seriously, pure All-Stars across the board.
Yeah. I mean, Jason Tatum didn't even play. The guy's been first team all NBA, what, the last 3 years in a row. And it's just like, yeah, we can only play 12 guys because the games are a little shorter. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man. And then, it was awesome. And it's also cool. It's like, they just pass the ball more. Like, sometimes the NBA can be a little boring, especially during the regular season, because it's basically just like one-on-one matchups. But I was like, man, this is fun as hell to watch.
Also, Serbia, you know, you got to give them credit. I'm always blown away by that part of the world. Like, they field some real teams, Serbia, like Croatia, you know, some great soccer players, some great basketball players, even really, really good water polo. And they're like the size of King County. Like, it's crazy that like if the four of those countries could get together, I mean, they, in my opinion, have the best natural athletes in the world from a DNA perspective. Them and Brazil.
I think the Serbs won. I think they won the silver medal last time around.
Is that where Jokic is from?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps when you have arguably the best player in the world right now on your team. But
yeah,
like the other dudes are no slouches. And like, yeah. And I mean, look, they came out on fire. Like the first half of the first quarter, I was like, is the U.S. going to wake up? And then it was like, put in Durant. And he literally went like 8 for 8 or 10 for 10 in the first half and just end it with like a fadeaway jumper. And at that point, it's like, oh, this is a wrap. Like, Serbia's not coming back from this.
Oh yeah, and Serbia only has 6.6 million people versus our 330 million, so they're like 2% of our population. That's wild.
All right, before we move on from the Olympics, like, obviously you're proud and stuff, but it's like, god, we send so many athletes. It's just like, but it's like, oh, we're winning the medal count. It's like, yeah, we're never gonna unreleash the medal count unless we're not a country anymore. Like, we just send a lot more people.
What do you mean? There are bigger countries on Earth.
There are, but I don't think they send as many athletes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I kind of was under the assumption that we kind of get the, you know, the best of each of the ethnicities and genomes that are in the U.S. You know what I mean? Like, we have like, you know, former Jamaican sprinters. We have like former Swedish bobsledders. Like, you know, America's got like the best of everything in some ways and the worst of everything in others. But I feel like our diversity is very helpful. I kind of assume that diversity in funding, but you're saying we physically send more athletes than any other country.
I'm almost positive we send more and we dominate the summer games. Winter games, a little tougher. What's up, Matt?
And we are privately funded. Most countries, it's funded through the government.
Oh yeah. We have the most athletes. 592. Number two is France with 573. Then big fall off to Australia, the 460.
Did either of you guys see Gojira at the opening ceremony?
I did. That was metal as hell.
It was so good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I know the copywriters are trying to keep it off the internet, but it's the internet. You can figure it out. Gojira Olympics opening ceremony is one of the most badass things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it starts with a headless... What's it? Marie Antoinette, like, yeah. Singing, like, it was, and I've never seen metal at anything like that. So like, I thought that was good for the metal and the rock scene.
So cool.
That's really cool.
Let's see. Shout out to the Seattle Seawolves. They are in the championship game this Sunday down in San Diego.
Let's go, dude.
They had an amazing comeback on Sunday afternoon too. Yeah. It was wild in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh. And this, for people who don't know, is Seattle's rugby team, right?
Yeah, Major League Rugby.
MLR.
And also, Rocky, the Seawolf, is a personal friend.
Same guy?
Yeah.
Is his wife a former rock girl?
Yeah, man. You know, okay. Red.
Yeah.
He is Rocky.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Like,
love it.
Like, I have a buddy, him and his friends go to all the games. So, was it last year, a couple years ago? He's like, you got to come to this game, you know, down at Starfire. And I said, all right. And I, you know me, I'm like, I kind of know the mascot. And like, I don't know. Like, I just didn't think my buddy really cared. As soon as we got there, he's like, can we go down there and say what's up to Rocky? And I'm like, yeah, sure we can. So we walk down there. And I mean, the team is like in that little hallway right before they run out, right? And I'm like, Rocky. And he comes over and he's like, dude, what's up? So there's like pictures of me like holding his championship belts for the first 2 years. like all the cameras are there. I mean, it was like right before they ran, and then we watched him run out. I was like, this is amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that game, I believe, kicks off at 1 p.m. on Sunday if you want to watch that. And Matt, I don't know if you'll see him around town, but Bowie is down in your neck of the woods hanging out with Fuego.
I thought I saw that on Instagram.
Let's go.
I'll be on the lookout.
All right, enough with sports. The main reason we're kind of happy to see Mr. Cobb here is he went international this week.
Ooh.
For a festival. Now, we are both festival veterans, but like, dude, you cross the border. I don't know. Can you explain what Shambhala is to people that don't know?
Sure.
Canada?
Yeah, Shambhala is amazing. So it's a music festival about 5 hours north of Spokane, deep in the woods of British Columbia. And it's a little bit like Burning Man, a little bit like Summer Meltdown, both of which you've heard us talk about. But essentially, they have five huge stages. Actually, they're not all huge. Five very cool stages. And then a big area where people camp. And some people camp for 5 days. There's music from about noon to 5 or 6 a.m. every day. There's tons of cool interactive activities. There's a big river to swim in. And it's just a big, giant hang and music appreciation. These stages have millions of dollars into them. The audio visual is insane. And I'll tell you about my favorite one, which it was incredible. So we walk in the first day to kind of the festival grounds, and I see it. And it's just this giant pagoda. And I'm like, oh my God, is that a stage? And what made this thing stand out is it wasn't ornately decorated. There was no colors. There was no anything. It's white on white on white on white on white. So like a Japanese, like crazy pagoda, huge, probably 5 stories tall.
Right. Big. It's a house, right?
No, it's a pagoda. It's like,
if people don't know what a pagoda is.
Oh, okay.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hypothetically, some people listening.
Some people.
Don't know what a pagoda is.
Yeah, it would be like if you stacked a small house on a slightly larger house, on a slightly larger house, on a slightly larger house about 5 times. So there's just a bunch of roof lines and levels. But anyway, so the thing, though, that made it really stand out is that it was white on white on white. There was no designs on it at all. And so what I realized is like, oh, they're not trying to impress anybody. Like, they know they throw it down at night. And so at night, they projection map the whole thing. And what that means is they take projectors and they project any patterns or designs onto it that they want. And with this one, they were doing a ton of like really cool, like religious imagery from all different world religions and a bunch of historical stuff and whatever. And then there's about, I don't want to sound crazy, but I would say 100 lasers on it. And this thing lights up like the 4th of July. It was truly unbelievable. It's a masterpiece in audio visual. And so I now worship at the Church of Pagoda. I'm a full-on convert. I haven't bought merch at a show in probably 15 years. I have a Pagoda t-shirt. I'm Team Pagoda. And during the sets, I literally was just screaming out, Pagoda! So I love Pagoda. I'm all about Pagoda. I think I might have even texted Ted. We're Pagoda people now. I know. I said that to, yeah. So I sent you, I think I sent you, did I send you a little video of Pagoda? So you know what we're dealing with?
I remember it just said we're Pagoda people now, but it was just during the day.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
If you're on Instagram, the one I follow is EDM Train. So then, like, you sent me that, and then, like, they posted a video from it at night, and I was like, holy shit.
Dude, you're going to have to bleep me, Matt, but the pagoda, one of the coolest stages I've ever seen. The only thing that's even close is maybe White Ocean with Ted, our first Burning Man year, just because it blew me away. But Pagoda's very cool. They had a bunch of other cool stages, too. Saw a lot of incredible artists. Dirtwire was on fire. Closey really brought it. And many more. Fractal Forest is really cool. So anyway, yeah, really, really cool fest.
That makes sense why, like, they were down here on Sunday for a day out.
Mm.
Like Closey,
what Dirtwire was?
Closey was, and a couple other people at Gasworks.
Oh, yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, I saw Closey Sunday night at, like, I don't know, midnight probably.
So. Because it was in Canada, obviously there's got to be more Canadians, but was it more international?
Way more international. There was actually very few people from Washington, which I kind of, as an arrogant American, I didn't even think about that. I thought it was going to be all Seattle people, and it was not at all. It was like people from Calgary, people from Montreal, a lot of Australians, British people. And you always forget this about international people, but they go late. Like, most of them didn't even come out of their tents till, like, you know, 6, 7 p.m. and they go till, you know, 6 to 8 in the morning. So, like, we're more day guys, I would say, at festivals typically. Ted gets stronger as the night goes on, but me and a couple of our other mutual friends are day guys. And this festival goes all night long. And I mean that in the truest sense, all night.
I was also
full sunrise. I did see one sunrise.
I respect that. I also love that I saw a video of, and the dude just walking around, like, during the day. And you just, like, hear this music in the background. And then he, like, finally, like, comes around this corner. And there's just, I don't know, hundreds, if not a thousand people just sitting there partying already. And I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, I would say even my second favorite stage behind Pagoda is the living room. And that alone just put Summer Meltdown to shame. And I love Summer Meltdown. You won't meet a bigger Summer Meltdown stan than me. So, yeah, if you're looking for a cool Northwest festival, highly recommend. I mean, it sold out in 4 minutes, to give you an idea. So, yeah, pretty cool. Incredible lineup. If you're into EDM, drum and bass, or any of that, it's a spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And that had been, we had talked about that for years, me, you, and the mayor. Like, I'm glad one of us actually went.
Hey, we're just the tip of the spear, Ted. Next year, it's you. We're established up there. Don't worry.
They know us.
We got people.
All right, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and the Cop Topic? All right, thank you. There's the fireworks when he goes the double thumbs up. Thank you to all our sponsors out there, and, you know, go Team USA. So we're on Zoom. Cobb's thing is doing fireworks. Every time he does a thumbs up, it gives you one thumbs up, and now he's got balloons.
Yeah, if I throw the peace sign, kind of like Mario in Super Mario World Nintendo 64, it gives me balloons. But yeah, I just like throwing them. I mean, I feel like I just keep doing motions and keep discovering new ones. And every time it does something new, I'm like, wait, what did I do? But yeah, I'm surprised you guys don't do it. I have no idea why.
Yeah, I'll figure out the settings.
Got to get those hype things. Ted, you got to do two thumbs up if you're going to get it. At least try. Two ardent thumbs up. Let me try. Oh, we're back, baby.
Well, all right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails in there?
Hell yeah. And thank you, everybody, who emailed us. So, all right, do you guys want to start with stress relief, mindfold, pump the stock, no emails, or disc golf?
Start with no emails.
No emails, ! Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Catching up on the app, and I heard you did not receive any emails. I thought I'd throw one out there about Terry Blacks and some English gentlemen. Browsing through YouTube, I found two English gentlemen that were tasting the best barbecue in Texas. They were comparing Terry Blacks to another restaurant, and you'll have to forgive me if I don't remember if it's Hitchings or Hutchins. I wonder if you might be able to provide a little insight. It seemed like Terry Black's proteins outranked its competitor, but the competitor's side seemed to take that battle. Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, he's got to be watching my guy, Josh. Like, I've talked about him, Josh. What's it? Josh and Chase from England. So they just spent like a month. They started in Austin. But, like, it, now that I know Austin, it's funny watching them go to like Barton Springs and they'd just be like, mate, you have no idea how hot it is. But those guys are great, man.
Is it Josh and Jace?
Yeah.
Josh and Jace Brits tried Terry Black's barbecue. Yeah.
Josh from England, I just started following him like a year or two ago, and he would like come over to the States here and there. And then he was just like, ah, I love it. I'm coming back over. And like on the 4th of July, I mean, they're all geared out and this and that. But like, yeah, they did a bunch of stuff. They went down to El Paso. They threw out a first pitch at a minor league game. And it's just funny. Like, I forget, like they're Brits. They have no idea how to throw a baseball.
That's awesome. Yeah, these guys look legit. Josh and Jace on TikTok, 1.1 million followers. Looks like they have YouTube and stuff too.
Yeah, and look, I know, like, Cobb, you know better than I do, down in that area of the country, you can argue barbecue all day long, but I just, for my money, it is very hard to beat Terry Black's, and I thought the sides at Terry Black's were great.
Yeah, the sides were fire. I could see a place having better sides, for sure. I think the thing about Terry Black's is there are better barbecue, but just barely, by like a percentage point or two, but the overall experience of Terry Black's is just superior. When you weigh all factors equally, it's the best spot. I've been to 9 in Austin probably, and like, it really, if you want like great experience, cool visuals, great photo ops, great meat, like cool vibe, you know, just everything, it all comes together at Terry Black's. Not too bad of a line, which actually is a big factor versus something like La Barbecue, which I love, but you know, it's more of like a Mother Mary church barbecue vibe, and the lines get pretty long. So yeah, for me, total value, Terry Black's. There are better proteins out there, but not by much. And there maybe are better sides back there out there, but you know, probably not by much either. I mean, the protein at Terry Black's is absolutely fire.
Right. And you've been saying it for years. And I realized it once I went there and would talk about it. Like, I met a guy that runs a barbecue truck up here, and I was talking about Terry Black's, and he's kind of like, well, yeah. And it's like, look, it's not their fault. They're fucking popular. I don't think it should take them down a notch.
Right? Exactly.
But it's almost like cool if you're like super into barbecue. Barbecue is like the rock world sometimes. Like, well, I listen to Swedish metal. Like, all right, dude. Like, let's chill out.
Like, dude, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is like, people try to be obscure to be significant and have like a new kind of take on something. And it's like, hey, look, man, like AC/DC fucking rocked. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I get that they were big. Like, you know, Primus, rad. Like, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. That's not my world, but like Iron Maiden, sick. Like, you don't have to be some obscure whatever band. It's just like, dude, Terry Black's is in the middle of downtown. Like, convenient location. You can hit Barton Springs right after. Amazing line. Like, black margaritas. I mean, they're running their program. I get how people could fight the hype, but honestly, I'm bought in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the best.
Okay. Also, I was giving that whole pitch about how I never buy merch to my wife, talking about the Pagoda t-shirt. And she was like, what do you mean? You went on a merch buying spree in Austin for like a year and you have hats from everywhere. I was like, well, that is true. I guess I do actually like local merch. And I have a Terry Black's hat. That's what made me think of that. Pump the stock to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land. Oh, man.
I just put on my Dead & Company hat. Like, I bought some merch.
I've been taking Pump the Stock motto to heart. I've been investing in my physical health. My only form of fitness was my job fixing vehicles. But this year, I'm going to the gym 3 to 4 times a week doing cardio and lifting. I'm stocky, 28-year-old guy at 280 pounds, and now I'm down to 262 pounds. Nice, dude. Hell yeah. Matt's solid. Throwing up a, what do you call that, like a V?
Yeah, I was just pumping my arms up in the air.
Just a pump from the boys.
Arm raise.
I've been making major gains in the gym. I ran my first 5K in 30 minutes this past weekend just to boost the confidence. I now get to feel good being in my own skin. It's hard to keep going to the gym after work, but hearing you guys motivates me to keep going. Pump the stock. Peace out, gents. Riker.
Riker, good work. Solid.
Pumping stocks, pumping iron.
Dude, yeah, boys, that's honestly, that's a pretty big accomplishment. You think he's putting on muscle too, so he's not losing weight as fast, but just changing over. Boys, can we give him, I feel like he deserves this, a collective from the three of us at the same time, a collective pump the stock.
All right.
All right. One, two, three.
Pump the stock.
Nice. Nice work, Riker. Hell yeah, man. Get it. A year from now, you're going to email us and tell us you're down to like 200 and you're jacked. You're going to have a freaking 8-pack. Cobb, listening to the latest pod. What do you mean no emails? I sent you this before you went married or got married. Again, congratulations. Let's see.
Is that
I may have read this. I may not have. Yeah, it is.
I know. So Aaron and I talk on WhatsApp or Signal or whatever. And he's like, dude, what's he talking about? I sent him an email before he got married.
Good day to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Listening to this week's pod, congratulations, Cobb, on your recent nuptials, and was keen to learn more about the mindfold as a form of stress reliever, or at least something in line with what Matt was saying with his feet and regaining dexterity of movement. Amazon has a few different types listed. Is there a particular brand you would recommend? Long story short, I'm beginning to lose control of the left side of my body, and conventional doctors... Yeah, we did do this one, right? Also, in relation to last week's Cobb topics, my go-to term for some quiet time is I'm going to visit Mrs. Palmer and her five daughters. Cheers, yeah. Aaron from Melbourne.
Yeah,
that's awesome. We did read that part.
We did. I'm pulling up the Mindfold so I can send our boy a link real quick. Just taking care of business out here, boys.
Well,
okay. What do we got next? Oh, no. I exited out of our emails completely. What a rookie move, trying to do too much. And we are back. Okay.
There we go.
Disc golf. Hey, boys. Just writing in to the best podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I loved hearing you get excited about disc golf. I just wanted to extend an offer to come play next time you're down at Saul's house. There are a couple fun courses to play nearby. I'd love to throw around with you guys. Love the podcast. I haven't emailed since my last embarrassing email, but disc golf drew me out of hiding. Thank you guys for the great podcast. We love it. Look forward to it. You three are much appreciated. LARP on, dudes. Chauncey.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, man. I gotta get some more rounds in on this disc golf.
Oh, yeah. And frankly, we probably bit the hand that feeds by talking shit to people who actually do email into us.
Hey, it worked.
Like, oh, your email wasn't perfect. Well, now you'll be roasted. No, we appreciate everyone who emails in. Thank you. And we just have fun with it. You can always leave your name off. Cheers to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Regarding the cop topic about stress relief, my go-to is always music. There's something about headbanging that just releases the tension inside. Any metal will do, but if I'm really stressed, new metal classic Break Stuff by Wes Borland and the crew is sure to do the trick. Cheers, Clay the Gimp.
I thought that came from inside the house. I thought that was from Matt.
Nah, but I am going to see them in a couple weeks.
P.S. Cobb, I got some popcorn during the online sale earlier this month, and the fam loves it. Awesome, Clay. Thank you. Also, feel free to stop by the store and tell them you listen, and they should hook you up for free, or at least give you a massive discount. I don't know what those boys are doing down there, but if they're not cool to you, let me know.
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I don't know what they're doing. They're making a lot of popcorn. I know that. All right, Ted, that's it for emails.
All right. Yeah, it's funny. Somebody today on the men's room, somehow we started talking about somebody from Chicago and what's the big popcorn there?
Oh, Garrett's.
Garrett's. Somebody was like, yeah, I just don't really care for Garrett's. And I was like, yeah, why would you have Garrett's when you could have Smith Family Popcorn on Cape Cod or go down to the market and get some at Cobb's?
Nice.
Garrett guy.
Yeah, I used to be, but, you know, I didn't know back then. All right, well, let's check in with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's
Madden? Before we get to what's Maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's
Madden? Check out with what's Maddening. All right,
this weekend we went camping up in a place called Silverwood Lake. And so it's like a national park or a state park, I guess. And so, like car camping with like bathrooms. I didn't use the showers, but they were there for, I don't know, a couple bucks or something. But like, yeah, it's up in the mountains. It was a really cool drive, really different terrain than I'm used to seeing from California, because we pretty much go from like desert to city to beach.
I mean, it looked awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. And so it's a crowded ass place. Like, it's California, and so everybody's there. But I mean, we went to two different beaches on the lake, and both one, it's just lined with tents and canopies and just people having a good time. It just feels like a huge party. Like, it was so crowded that it felt like a party. It was just like a totally different thing, but somehow we got lucky with parking and timing and stuff. So like all the bad stuff of crowds, we just timed it out well, and it worked out great.
Nice.
Had a real good time. Got real sunburned.
Sunburned, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Not something I think about a lot, but, yeah, we were on the lake all day and getting in and out of the water, you know, where the water's just a magnifying glass and, you know, solves one problem, which is like beat the heat in the summer from the desert. You go somewhere, you get wet, you get cold, right? Like, that's the objective. I solved that.
Yeah.
To get extremely sunburned. But overall, very worth it. There were bear sightings in our campground the night before we got there, but we didn't see any.
But all right.
There were reports from the night prior in our campground. So that was pretty, you know, it's just when you have to pee in the middle of the night, it's just, you just have it in the back of your head. It's just like, we're out here, man. So,
I mean, that'll also, you know, definitely make you be careful about what you're doing with your food.
Right. Right. Yeah, so, you know, cleaned up good, didn't see any bears, made some steaks.
Actually, I mean, I was looking, I don't know if it was you or your girl that posted, but like, I was kind of impressed. I was like, that's nice work on the steak for being outdoors on a random grill.
Yeah, yeah, she got the grill all figured out there and grilled them up. And yeah, those came direct from a rancher, so, you know, good quality steaks. And yeah, it was a good time. And then Sunday we came home, kind of unpacked and, you know, got back to normal. And then my buddy Max, who, you know, Ted, moved down here before me. He had told me about a hardcore show going on out in Indio at this music store in the back. And I didn't know what to expect. And we got there, and it's like a bunch of like kids, like 18 to 21 or, you know, like kids, like I used to be, like Max used to be, you know. And we're like, oh damn, we're the old dudes at the in the young man's game here, you know.
And yeah.
we had a great time. I thought it was really fun. You know, we were cool. I don't know, like, I didn't feel incredibly awkward. Any awkwardness that I felt being the old guy there was created by me and Max joking about it, right? But like,
yeah,
I couldn't go in there with the pit with those kids, you know, like I used to. But it was just fun to see. I didn't know kids still did that. Like, I was very like stoked for the next generation. Two of the bands are local from here in the Valley. One of them came from like 45 minutes away, and then another band was on tour from Arizona, the headliners. But I mean, all four bands crushed it. The crowd was live the entire time, like hardcore pits, like fast moving flailing arms, like, you know, the 21 and up crowd doesn't throw down like the old all ages crowds in a lot of cases. Like, little kids that don't have alcohol to distract themselves with, they're just there for the music. They go the craziest in the pits. And then I had a good phase before I turned 21 where I was illegally consuming alcohol and going into this environment a little bit souped up with some liquid intensity and having a real ball. But it was so cool to see. Like, I felt old, but I also felt inspired by the youth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? Like, watch Army Navy, right? None of those boys and girls are like, none of them are drinking. But they're still going crazy. They're wearing crazy outfits at the football games. Like, you know, they're still having a blast.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then I got a shirt from a band because I like to support them, and I wore it outside. And within 5 minutes, I'm not even kidding, because it was my neighbor. He goes, "Is that a Bronco shirt? Bronco's the band?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude." He's like, "Oh, nice. Yeah. Was that from the show last night?" He's like, I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I didn't go, but I'm friends with their drummer." And I was like, "Awesome, dude. Well, I had a great time. It was my first, you know, show out since I moved out here, and like really impressed with the scene." He's like, "Scene used to be better back when I was going to shows. Like, I know the drummer, but I'm really not the biggest fan of that band." And I'm like, "You know what? Old dudes like you would be the problem if you showed up to that show. Me and Max are not turning into you, bro. We're going to go there. We're going to have a good time. We're going to support these kids, and we're going to stay the hell out of the pit. And yeah, just have a good time." They let me bring in soda water and candy, had a 1.5 liter soda water with me.
That's nice. Damn.
Yeah. So much fun.
Yeah. And that camping trip looked awesome. And also, reminder to people, put on sunscreen, especially in the water.
Especially in the water times. Man, gosh. Big reminder.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just swimming in the inlet down at Sal's house. Like, I mean, I put on a bunch before I went in there, but after like an hour, I was like, all right, I can just feel it like shining off the water. I was like, my face is getting hot. I need to get out of this water.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. I was just kind of getting pumped up from that email about that guy starting to lose weight. And there's another sort of thing that a project I can't really talk about that a friend of mine's working on. I told Matt before the cast, but we'll talk about it when it's done. So it's kind of thinking for the Cobb topic. Just sort of interested to hear. I don't know. Actually, I don't want to give too much backstory or ramp up. The Cobb topic this week is: you have 100 days to completely change your life for the better. What would you do? Feel free to email us. Literally the word email at thepodcast.com. It comes through on my phone. I 100% promise you I will read it. Most likely it will be on air. You have 100 days to completely change your life for the better. What would you do? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. Ted, Matt, what are we doing?
I don't know. Like, I'm a goal-oriented person. That's a tough one. Because I'm like, for the better, like, what part of better?
Like, I'm trying to think, some time if you want.
No, I'm just trying to think of, like, what part of my life, like, am I trying to do in 100 days?
Yeah, I don't know if my life would be better if I gave up sugar.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be something that you give up. It could be you going to hardcore shows 5 times a week.
That's a good point. You know, man.
You know, 100 days from now, you're the king of the hardcore scene.
Dude, yeah. Honestly, I know it's kind of cliche because everybody does it, but like, if I could do it, I mean, I'm in an apartment, so it'd be a little tougher, but like, I would like to consistently get a cold plunge and sauna routine.
Oh, dude, I love that. You could put one out on your back porch very easily.
Yeah.
Do they heat that pool there in the winter?
It's not open in the winter.
Well, is it empty?
It's not clean.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we don't need to dip you in bleach. Nice. Well, if you ever want help building a cold plunge, mine was about $800 and $700 of that was the chest freezer. So if you get a chest freezer on Craigslist or something, then you can build it for about $100.
Yeah, even like some friends of ours, they live in Cornwall, and like the one woman, Sarah, like she just goes out and like swims in the cold ass ocean almost at least probably 5 days a week.
Damn, that's baller.
I know. I was like, I respect that. Or like, I know some people that just go down and live in West Seattle and get in the sound every, like, you know, a few days a week.
Yeah, it pays dividends, I gotta say. Mateus?
Honestly, yeah, I would It's I should do it because it's so simple, but it's a little like hot where practicing, like if I really wanted to change my life for the best before all my clients come back to the season, for the season, I would get my golf index down to single digits below a 10 by just practicing for like an hour a day, which practicing golf in this heat is tougher than playing golf because playing golf, you get shade. Every time you get in the cart, you get wind. Like it's a totally different thing than just grinding on the range or the putting green for an hour a day. But yeah, I think that would be, I think I'm close to a breakthrough. I just don't practice in the summers when I have more time and I use the weather as kind of a cop out, honestly. But it is uncomfortable and inconvenient. Like it's valid, but at a certain point, like, you know, your excuses just don't get you the results you say you want. So
yeah,
you
I
don't
think for me.
But, I was going to say, I back in Maryland, I have spent some days when it's like 90 some degrees and 90% humidity. And like, you're right. The driving range isn't fun at that point.
Nah, very different than playing. So yeah, but that would be like, then that has some serious like implications around here. Like yeah, just be like, oh, I'm a 9. Yeah. I mean, most guys that accomplish like single digit handicaps, like they're kind of douches about it. They bring it up every chance they get, but I don't even have that option.
You don't have the option to be a douche.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. For me, it would probably be like it's replacing all social media use with reading, which would be very hard to do because I do a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, that would be hard to do. God, you know, let me ask you about this, Cobb. Like, there's this report that came out that said, like, adults aren't reading and this and that. But, like, I said on the men's room, I go, I feel like a lot of adults read. People just read online as opposed to, like, sitting down, stopping down and reading a book. I mean, if it wasn't for the light rail, I mean, that's the only reason I read at least one full book this year is because I was, like, on the light rail. I was like, all right, we're not going to look at our phone. We're just going to read.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's your question?
I mean, doesn't that count as reading if you're reading articles online?
Well, you know, I think it's a question of definition, and sure, you could count that as reading. I would say most of those social platforms are pivoting towards video first. You know, Twitter, of course, Instagram, TikTok. But I think that, yes, some online reading is reading. I think that it doesn't necessarily solve the problem because unless you're talking about long form content via like Substack, Beehive, something like that, you're really talking about not being able to work on your focus and your deep understanding of a single topic. And so I think what reading does is it causes you to spend some time delving deep into a topic and being patient and focusing on one thing for a long time versus the sugar rush of flipping through social media. So I would say certainly you can count it if you want. I have at different points in my life, but what I'm talking about specifically is reading books. And that's not to say that those are any better than blog posts. I mean, you know, a blog post, most books probably could be a blog post and most blog posts could probably be a tweet. You know, people overwrite stuff. So it's not that books are necessarily superior, but I think they have some advantages.
Well, and on YouTube, I feel like you're a guy who's like constantly, like you're still learning on YouTube. You're not watching a 3.5 hour video on the Kendrick and Drake beef.
Yeah, but I think the nice dude. I think the big difference is that, you know, video is passive and reading is active. So you think about like, you know, just watching the boob tube TV. And it's like the same thing. Like there's nobody, you know, who's like incredibly smart, who watches TV 6 hours a day
and pays attention to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Versus. Yeah, exactly. Pays attention versus just like having it on the background or whatever. But then,
I mean,
like,
hell, it's tough even just to watch TV that long without reaching for your phone and doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So our attention spans are getting shorter. And I think in that context, having a long attention span is a real superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I agree.
I don't know, but that's my thought.
All right. We're back next week. And then we have a week off because, yeah, I'm not going to be here.
Nice. All right. Fair enough. It is the podcast.
I haven't decided where I'm going to be. I could be out on the coast. I could be in Leavenworth. I don't know.
Wow, a little vacay?
Yeah. And I have a cut, like, I have some stuff planned later, but I'm like, all right, I actually have a few days. I don't have anything planned. And I'm like, you know, I might just hop in the car and just go cruise around.
Dude, that's awesome. I love that.
So, all right, but we'll be back next week. Yeah, for MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. I was just kind of getting pumped up from that email about that guy starting to lose weight. And there's another sort of thing that I can't, a project I can't really talk about that a friend of mine's working on. I told Matt before the cast, but we'll talk about it when it's done. So it's kind of thinking for the Cobb topic. Just sort of interested to hear. I don't know. Actually, I don't want to give too much backstory or ramp up. The Cobb topic this week is you have 100 days to completely change your life for the better. What would you do? Feel free to email us. Literally the word email at thepodcast.com. It comes through on my phone. I 100% promise you I will read it. Most likely it will be on air. You have 100 days to completely change your life for the better. What would you do? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. Ted, Matt, what are we doing?
Ooh. I don't know. Like, I'm a goal-oriented person. That's a tough one. Because I'm like, for the better, like, what part of better?
Like, I can buy you some time if you want.
No, I'm just trying to think of, like, what part of my life, like, am I trying to do in 100 days?
Yeah, I don't know if my life would be better if I gave up sugar.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be something that you give up. It could be you going to hardcore shows 5 times a week.
That's a good point. You know, man.
You know, 100 days from now, you're the king of the hardcore scene.
Dude, yeah. Honestly, I know it's kind of cliche because everybody does it, but like, if I could do it, I mean, I'm in an apartment, so it'd be a little tougher, but like, I would like to consistently get a cold plunge and sauna routine.
Oh, dude, I love that. You could put one out on your back porch very easily.
Yeah.
But do they heat that pool there in the winter?
It's not open in the winter.
Well, is it empty?
It's not clean.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we don't need to dip you in bleach. Nice. Well, if you ever want help building a cold plunge, mine was about $800 and 700 of that was the chest freezer. So if you get a chest freezer on Craigslist or something, then you can build it for about $100.
Yeah, even like some friends of ours, they live in Cornwall, and like the one woman, Sarah, like she just goes out and like swims in the cold ass ocean almost at least probably 5 days a week.
Damn, that's baller.
I know. I was like, I respect that. Or like, I know some people that just go down and live in West Seattle and get in the sound every, like, you know, a few days a week.
Yeah, it pays dividends, I gotta say. Matthias?
Honestly, yeah, I would I should do it because it's so simple, but it's a little like hot where practice it, like if I really wanted to change my life for the best before all my clients come back to the season. For the season, I would get my golf index down to single digits, below a 10, by just practicing for like an hour a day, which practicing golf in this heat is tougher than playing golf, because playing golf, you get shade. Every time you get in the cart, you get wind. Like, it's a totally different thing than just grinding on the range or the putting green for an hour a day. But yeah, I think that would be, I think I'm close to a breakthrough. I just don't practice in the summers when I have more time, and I use the weather as kind of a cop out, honestly. But it is uncomfortable and inconvenient. Like, it's valid, but at a certain point, like, you know, your excuses just don't get you the results you say you want. So
yeah,
you
I
don't
think for me.
I was going to say, back in Maryland, I have spent some days when it's like 90 some degrees and 90% humidity. And like, you're right, the driving range isn't fun at that point.
No, very different than playing. So yeah, but that would be like, then that has some serious like implications around here. Like, yeah, just be like, oh, I'm a 9. Yeah. I mean, most guys that accomplish like single digit handicaps, like they're kind of douches about it. They bring it up every chance they get, but I don't even have that option.
You don't have the option to be a douche.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. For me, it would probably be like it's replacing all social media use with reading, which would be very hard to do because I do a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, that would be hard to do. Let me ask you about this, Cobb. Like, there's this report that came out that said, like, adults aren't reading and this and that. But, like, I said on the men's room, I go, I feel like a lot of adults read. People just read online as opposed to, like, sitting down, stopping down and reading a book. I mean, if it wasn't for the light rail, I mean, that's the only reason I read at least one full book this year. Is because I was, like, on the light rail. I was like, all right, we're not going to look at our phone. We're just going to read.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's your question?
I mean, doesn't that count as reading if you're reading articles online?
Well, you know, I think it's a question of definition. And sure, you could count that as reading. I would say most of those social platforms are pivoting towards video first. You know, Twitter, of course, Instagram, TikTok. But I think that, yes, yeah, some online reading is reading. I think that it doesn't necessarily solve the problem because unless you're talking about long form content via like Substack, Beehive, something like that, you're really talking about not being able to work on your focus and your deep understanding of a single topic. And so I think what reading does is it causes you to spend some time delving deep into a topic and being patient and focusing on one thing for a long time versus the sugar rush of flipping through social media. So I would say certainly you can count it if you want. I have at different points in my life, but what I'm talking about specifically is reading books. And that's not to say that those are any better than blog posts. I mean, you know, a blog post, most books probably could be a blog post and most blog posts could probably be a tweet. You know, people overwrite stuff. So it's not that books are necessarily superior, but I think they have some advantages.
Well, and on YouTube, I feel like you're a guy who's like constantly, like you're still learning on YouTube. You're not watching a 3.5 hour video on the Kendrick and Drake beef.
Yeah, but I think the nice dude. I think the big difference is that, you know, video is passive and reading is active. So you think about like, you know, just watching the boob tube TV. And it's like the same thing. Like there's nobody, you know, who's like incredibly smart, who watches TV 6 hours a day
and pays attention to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Versus. Yeah, exactly. Pays attention versus just like having it on the background or whatever. But then
I mean,
like,
hell, it's tough even just to watch TV that long without reaching for your phone and doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So our attention spans are getting shorter. And I think in that context, having a long attention span is a real superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I agree.
I don't know, but that's my thought.
All right. We're back next week. And then we have a week off because, yeah, I'm not going to be here.
Nice. All right. Fair enough. It is the podcast.
I haven't decided where I'm going to be. I could be out on the coast. I could be in Leavenworth. I don't know.
Wow. A little vacay?
Yeah. And I have a cut, like I have some stuff planned later, but I'm like, all right, I actually have a few days. I don't have anything planned. And I'm like, you know, I might just hop in the car and just go cruise around.
Dude, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah.
So, all right, but we'll be back next week. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.